every person can actually achieve greatness. Greatness is to be defined of what you want it to be. And I feel that innovation is the highest form because it is about you defining it and you not caring, okay, like, you know, this is the established ways of doing things, right? But then you actually say that, hey, I'm not going to be that fish that climbs a tree. I want to do something different.
Welcome to Vista by the Singapore Chamber of Commerce in Indonesia. I'm Jeff Hutton. It doesn't take long for Ben Wong to get nerdy about Star Wars. He was drawn to its narrative arc of heroes fighting their demons as they seek their destiny. Ben is especially drawn to the character Obi-Wan Kenobi, the Jedi Master, who, let's face it, had mixed results leading protégés. Obi-Wan learned the hard way that not everyone fits neatly into good guys and bad guys. No surprise, then, that Ben named his startup Kenobi, a consultancy that proffers advice on building resumes and acing interviews. Not everyone fits in. Most people, in some way, are like fish climbing trees, Ben's words. Life, lived to its fullest, is about awkwardly pushing the envelope to try something new. And in Indonesia, where jobs are limited and its young workforce is hungry, well, it may have the region's biggest population of Piscina borealis. So what special challenges do the region's young graduates face? How do you vibe an interview? All this and more, learn you will, my young apprentice. Here's Ben Wong.
Ben Wong, so great to have you here. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, great to meet you as well.
Tell me about Kenobi. And tell me about the name, not like Obi-Wan, or is there a connection or no?
Yeah, there's a connection there. Actually, Obi-Wan is one of my favorite characters in life. I really love Star Wars. Mm. I think that Star Wars is a really good example of like what life is. Like, you know, there's this whole good and evil thing and sort of thing. And I think like, if I look at Obi-Wan and there's this whole new episode from Star Wars on it, right? And Disney on it, Disney Plus.
Disney Plus is putting out a new series. It's kind of like The Mandalorian, only it's a prequel with Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, and you actually see him as his mentor figure, right? Like he felt that, you know, I didn't guide Anakin Skywalker in the right way. I want to make amends. I want to make sure that Luke, Leia, they're all in the same path. And I thought that that kind of embodiment was a spirit that I wanted Kenobi to have.
So Kenobi, kind of you are mentoring someone to not be a Darth Vader?
Yeah, kind of like maybe not be a Darth Vader, but rather I always like to see things in dualities, right? It's not neither good nor evil in a sense. Like, and I think Anakin Skywalker plays a very important role in the Force because he actually has that duality. He's neither Jedi nor Sith, right? And I think that represents a lot of people as well. We're neither like, you have everyone has good and bad intentions in some sense. And our jobs as, you know, like people who guide others is to hopefully bring them to the right path, right? But at the same time, they might be Anakin Skywalker. I think that's the beauty of why I wanted that to be in the spirit of the company.
Who, let's be clear, made some wrong choices.
Yeah, of course.
but that's where the tension was in life, making wrong choices and finding your way back.
Yeah.
I see.
It speaks a bit about all of us, I think. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think that's...
Oh, not me. No, I've straight line, perfect, nothing but up.
You fit very well in
Singapore. Oh, yeah. That's why I'm in Jakarta.
Amazing.
Well, then, I saw a TED Talk with you 10 years ago, and just before we started recording this, just like, oh, I should take that down. But it was about the meaning of greatness. Right. Mm-hmm. And your definition then was innovation, and you were encouraging this batch of high schoolers to take risks and push themselves. And how does that stack up your definition of greatness, or is it even something you should be striving for?
Yeah, it's a great question, by the way, and like when we were talking about it earlier, I think I've changed quite a bit since 10 years ago, but I think
You're looking great.
Yeah, definitely waist size up four inches. Yeah, like I think for me, it was about defining what it is that you want to do in life. And I think that everyone, rather the story, and I think that the story has always been consistent, is that every person can actually achieve greatness. Greatness is to be defined of what you want it to be. And I feel that innovation is the highest form because it is about you defining it and you not caring, okay, like, you know, this is the established ways of doing things, right? But then you actually say that, hey, I'm not going to be that fish that climbs a tree. I want to do something different, right? So I think that that was the line of thought that I had as I was at that TED Talk itself.
Mm-hmm. Did you say a fish that climbs a tree?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that would be different, right?
Yeah, I was a fish climbing a tree in the Singapore system. So
were you?
Yeah, I was.
You didn't
I was.
Fit in?
I didn't fit in. I didn't fit in. I didn't really fit in.
Oh, you look at the TED Talk and look, you're looking pretty overachiever type.
Maybe it sounds like it, but honestly, I honestly really can't fit in. I didn't really fit in school, like in junior college.
How so?
I think it was quite an interesting blend of a nerdy person and someone who's not really a...
No, like, we started this podcast with you talking about Star Wars. So yeah, I could see the nerd.
Yeah, yeah. So like, you know, it's very strange because, you know, I couldn't really fit in with the nerds, but neither could I fit in with like the jocks. So I was like kind of by myself. But I didn't realize that actually there was a group of people like me and they were all startup guys, right?
Right. Yeah. No, the nerds, the guys, the girls that didn't fit in high school, they go do stuff.
Yeah, they go do stuff.
They start stuff. They create stuff. They ask questions. So, you know, we're the interesting ones.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So back to Kenobi, which is a great name, I think, for a website or an app. You want to make it a super app that helps people prepare for job interviews and university interviews, right? So tell me about some of the challenges that a Gen Zer out there, so that's the target, right?
Gen Zer, yeah.
How are they different from me when I'm a Gen X? What are the challenges that they face that are unique to them?
Yeah.
And as a bonus question.
Yeah, sure.
Since I'm interviewing you, how are they different from market to market? Because you're in Singapore, Indonesia, Thailand, what is with you? Philippines.
Yeah.
Right? Slight differences there. Talk me through that.
Yeah, I think very interesting question. Gen Z today are facing an enormous issue. Yeah, more than ever, they are worse than in my position when I was a millennial, right? And people say millennials are strawberry generation. You can't afford houses and blah, blah. Gen Z are even worse. I don't think that like they would ever, ever afford totally an apartment. It's just what it is. It's
wow.
And I think because of that, and because maybe it's my generation as a millennial, we said to them that, hey, you know, strike your own path, right? Do your own thing. There's no need to have paths. And then all of them are confused because they actually don't know have any paths. And they go back and say that actually we want paths. We want you to tell us what to do. And that's strange because in my generation, we didn't feel it. But then this generation, they're like lost. And they want a good semblance of like structure and innovation, which is interesting. Like, let's say when you ask them to come to work, they're like, you know, Ben, I want to work from home. I want that flexibility. And then the next day they'll be like, Ben, actually, I want to work from office because I want the team partnerships. I want people to play tennis with me or like table tennis and like, you know, go for coffees, etc. So I feel that they are in a very limbo state where they actually don't know, and but yet they want both.
They're in limbo.
Yeah.
So they want the freedom of work from home,
yes,
and the opportunities and responsibilities that a digital life gives them.
Yeah.
You remember a life before handphones, right?
Yeah.
You remember a life before the internet? Is that right? Yeah. Do you?
Right? Yeah, I do.
Okay. I was in university when I've used email for the first time.
Okay.
Like halfway through it.
Right.
Yeah, that's how old I know. I have a iPhone 10.
Yeah, I'm not giving any comments.
Respect. I thought you Singaporeans were supposed to be respectful of your elders. Anyway, where was I going with this? But they want also to know how they're going to do a good job, like what it takes for them to succeed, they need that defined.
Yeah.
So that's a kind of structure over top of a digital life that gives them freedom to be physically wherever they want.
Yes.
Right. But they want options.
Yeah. They want options.
They want it all.
They want it all. Yeah. And, but at the same time, the fact that they're lost and they actually don't know what to do next. And with the whole rise of like change in the past, like you don't have, even in my generation, it's like, oh, you know, you just go to this job, this company, and you, maybe you change every 5 years. But now people are changing jobs every year. New companies are formed. And people are like, wow, this new industry is 3 years ago, there was no TikTok marketing. And even my generation, people don't understand TikTok marketing. The only people understand it is Gen Z.
Do you have TikTok?
I do have TikTok, yeah, okay. Because I need to manage them. Yeah.
You do. You only have it on your phone because
Because I need it, yeah. Yeah, but my friends are not on it. Yeah, so it's a very interesting generation. And I think that because of that, that's where Kenobi is formed, because they actually need it. They need someone who actually is there to guide them. Like, let them know, does your resume look good? Because a lot of them, especially in this day and age, you know, higher debt, they can't afford housing, they need a job. It's less likely they would actually be an entrepreneur. And when that happens, what it means is that they spend like 10 hours trying to build a resume, like even from tier 3 city, maybe in Medan or like maybe like in Sulawesi.
We're talking about in Indonesia.
In Indonesia. Yeah. Medan is definitely not a tier 3 city, but I mean like in universities there, right? In Medan, tier 3, right? And definitely when you actually face and have all these universities there, the students, they have none of the opportunities that someone in Jakarta has. And yet when they graduate, their parents will be like, you know, all Asian parents, right? Hey, I've already spent this amount of money on you. You know, I gave you this amount of money, this Tuan, you know, all these, like, you better go out there, you better make money. You better get like, when you get a good job, right?
And in this like, part of the world, yeah. that hits hard.
Yeah,
that,
it hit hard.
That
hits hard.
Really resonates. Yeah. Like they feel a need to give back to the family.
Yeah.
Because there was really limited resources.
Yeah. And because of that, they're like, okay, you know, mom, I'm trying to get a job, but I can't because I don't know how to build a resume. It's a huge thing. Like, we all think that, you know, every person knows how to build a resume, very basic knowledge. But you would find that even in tier one universities, even in Singapore, even in like UI, for example, in Jakarta, it's a thing. Like, people actually don't actually know how to build a resume. And it is something that is quite simple if you actually take time to do it. And if you have the right guidance. And so I think what Kenobi does is that we were thinking as we were building the product, how can I make it easier, right? Such that you don't have to go and talk to any person about it. It's somewhat of a formula, right? A resume, because it's all predefined sets. But there is a certain way to write it such that you have the correct keywords in store that represents you as a person.
All right, run me through those. What are those? What are the buzzwords?
So people always say that, like, hey, you know, like, Ben, your buzzwords, you know, everyone has it. How do I really define it? But actually, the buzzwords need to be defined to represent you as a person, right? So your buzzwords are different from my buzzwords, right? Like your buzzwords are, think of your buzzwords. Like, your buzzwords are like, you know, your top, what are the top three things that people actually say about you, right?
Humble.
It's antonym.
After saying I'm good looking and smart.
Okay, good looking and smart. Yeah, definitely. I don't know you well enough here, but yeah. So I think, yeah, that is, these are generic buzzwords, right? But actually, they're very specific to you. And they actually represent you for who you really are. And when the interviewer sees their resume and sees that, hey, you have these three things.
Well, okay, sorry, I made a joke there. But if I was going out there with a resume, I would probably want to hit experience. I want to self-starting. Oh, I don't know. I'm on the spot here. I want to hit the fact that I'm a writer, that I'm involved in new media and all that sort of
stuff. Actually, everything. Yeah, because it's like, why do you like this person, right? When you talk to interviewers, recently I have a friend who works for a fintech company here, and he got a job out of like, you know, 750 applicants. Partnership through, right? And he said, like, okay, the reason why I got this job, very simple, right, is because I vibe with you. I vibe with you. Like, the interviewer just vibed. That's it. And vibe,
what,
actually...
vibed the view?
Yeah, so I vibed with you, like V-I-B-E, like vibe with the interviewer.
Vibe with the interviewer.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
It's a thing.
Vibe the view.
Yeah, and
I think we're vibing.
Yeah, we're vibing.
We're vibing. This
yeah,
day.
We're vibing. Yeah. Yeah, but I think the vibe part has always been there, right? It's always been like, you know, whether it's our parents' generation, whether it's NU generation, it is like they all faced it, and it's all about vibing. It's just that we contextualize, and now the Gen Zs use this word a lot. And if you look at vibing, what it is, it's essentially whether or not scientifically the keywords actually match, right? Does it match firstly the JD that you put out?
What's that's a JD?
The job description that the person put out.
I'm does not it, getting does it vibe this job. Like, oh my God. Yeah. Okay. Well, the second part of that question, though, was the nuances in each of your markets. Because you
nuances, yeah.
You're in Singapore, Indonesia, Philippines, Thailand. Talk me through that. There's got to be some differences there. And I think probably one of them is maybe expectations of owning property. Like in Indonesia, the property market, you could probably build a house.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the expectations are probably different, right?
Yeah, I think that's definitely one. I think for how I look at it is that, let's say in Singapore, a lot of the youths out there, they won't like, okay, so like I how I structure labor, I'm an economist, right, by training. So if you structure like labor or like, you know, people, right, in groups, there are three ways to look at it. The first is look at it as them as consumers. They consume, you give them like this cosmetics, they will like tell you whether they like it or don't like it, Chanel bag and so on. Second is like people as talent, right? They go beyond, they start to produce, they start to say that I want to have this skill set. The third is people as entrepreneurs. They go beyond this labor, they build other things. So in this framework itself, if you look at the various countries that they were in, and this framework actually affects how resumes are built. It affects how people look for jobs. In Singapore itself, you'll find that, you know, consumerism is there, but it's not the same as Indonesia, right? Singaporeans save a lot. There's a fixed savings plan. And because of that, you know, there's no earned wage access would never work in Singapore, for example. It's not a thing, right? But at the same time, you'd find that labor and entrepreneurship, right? Singaporeans as entrepreneurs, very rare. It's not because there is a lack of entrepreneurial bug in some sense, but it's because the government in Singapore has made it so comfortable for a person to actually have a job that pays well. And if he does well in his job, he'll get promoted and have chances of promotion such that the opportunity cost of leaving their job to be an entrepreneur is extremely high.
Right.
Yeah, it is what I would call as the success of the system, but led to the failure of maybe, you know, maybe a lot of people want to be entrepreneurs. It's not a bad thing. It's
a little less dynamic. Yeah. There's not quite as much disruption in your view as there could be.
Yeah, correct. And whether it's a good or bad problem, I don't know. You know, it's a good issue that people are stable, right?
Yeah, it's a good problem to have.
It's a good problem to have, yeah. It's not even a problem sometimes, you know, it's to some people. Right. Yeah.
It's definitely worth talking about. Okay, yeah. What about Indonesia? What's attracted you to this market, really, is what I'm driving at. Yeah.
I think in Indonesia, the best thing about Indonesia is that in Indonesia itself, you'd find that people actually, they want more, right? And they are very hungry. And it's because of the fact that I think that firstly, the second piece, labor market, the labor market is not as like, you know, created by the government or like solidified. There's a lot of need to actually make sure that you do it yourself. And because of that, there is no guarantee of, let's say, a job, for example. It's better for you to be an entrepreneur. Because as an entrepreneur, you earn more and you actually have a hinterland of market consumers that actually can buy your products. You can't do that in Singapore. Singapore has 6 million people. You sell one product and then you want to make money and that's it. You know, but then in Indonesia, 270 million people. You can, how many florist shops are there? There's so many, like you can just set up another one, right? And then it's that setting that up is better than perhaps like maybe working for another person, unless that company is like maybe huge tech or, you know, the latest fintech, et cetera.
Leaving jobs, not that hard, really. Yeah. And there's a zeitgeist here of owning your own business.
Owning your own business.
You're in control.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
And it's never been easier to, and I want to ask you this next question. The promotion, the marketing channels is right on your phone.
Yes.
Right. What about credit? How do people go about borrowing money for it? They just go to their family? They go to friends?
Yeah. So credit itself, I think this part here is a bit thorny because you have both the Muslim laws that talk about interest rate. Yeah, so that's big here. I mean, that's a whole separate different topic. But then I think what we actually see in Indonesia is that perhaps it's because of the social climate here that causes people to realize and say that, hey, you know, I want to live in the moment. With my wage in the month, I don't mind like treating myself. I work so hard. Let me pay for this like Korean Japanese restaurant that I couldn't totally afford. Mm-hmm. You don't see this in other countries, actually. It's an interesting phenomenon. And I was asking myself, why are there so many Korean restaurants? Why are there so many sushi heroes around, man? Like it's crazy the amount of sushi heroes around. Like are there so many people who can afford it? But it's just that they actually do take and spend a lot on these discretionary goods.
So they live for the moment. There's things are fine. I live for today. That's what you're noticing?
Yeah, that's what I'm noticing.
They're more likely to splurge.
Yeah, I'm like to splurge.
And be broke at the end of the month.
In a way, yes. I mean, it's I think it's just what the social climate is. Yeah, in some ways.
Well, the flip side is that you might be racking up debt too, right? It's buy now, pay later. That's a whole other thing you don't have to
buy now, pay later. Yeah, well, of course.
You can comment on that if you like.
Okay. Try not to comment on some social issues.
All right. Well, I want to run you through your... I've had a look at your website. So questions you should be all up on.
Yeah.
If you want to ace an interview. So Ben, I'm going to run you through some of these questions just to see how you do.
Sure. Okay.
From your own website. What is one question I should ask you to make me want to hire you?
Okay. So one question you can ask me is this, is that like, what are the three things that I would do on my first day of work when I started a company?
Jeez. And what would those three things be?
It doesn't matter, actually. Yeah, it's about a question, right? Because it's about like the framing of mind that I actually am in your company. And I actually thought about it. And versus all the other candidates, you are in your mind and psychologically, you'll be saying that like, hey, this candidate is thinking of the future. He already knows what he wants to do on the first day of work. He's going to excel in it.
I already want to hire you. All right. Describe a task that really tested your analytical abilities.
I think this
interview.
This one, definitely. I think the worst one is probably in the consulting when I had to do like mental sums. I'm really rusty at it now. Like I used to practice it for consulting interviews. I used to be this book, like mental models and something like that. And then you had to like practice and like do like the mental sums in your mind. Yeah, I think one of the hardest questions I had was like, what is 2 to the power of 10 during an interview? And I was like, oh my gosh, what is 2 to the power of 10?
Right.
Yeah.
So it's 2 times 2 itself.
Yeah, 2 times 2 times 2 times 2. Yeah.
10 times.
Yeah. So actually, you can just break it out 2 to the power of 5 times 2 to the power of 5. So, but then I still need to use my brain and like, yeah. I need 2 to the power of 5, 16, I think. I'll tell you 2. Yeah.
My mouth is wet, rusty too. And then I Google it.
Yeah.
Okay. Third question. How old was Anakin Skywalker when he
dark side? I'm not so much of a nerd that I actually know his age. But yeah. I don't know this question.
That was a callback. Anyway, the last question I wanted to ask you is advice you might have for somebody else that wants to enter this market. You know, Indonesia's got a lot of promise, but I hear words like pitfalls. I hear words like due diligence. I hear words having the right partners. What is the secret in your view? What are the must-dos and maybe some don'ts?
Yeah, I think the beauty of business is actually being human. You know, apart from all the, like, what you call as politics, differences in race, you're not Indonesian, you're not Singaporean, like, blah, blah. You know, like all these other, I call them social constructs, right? They're important. But at the same time, at the end of the day, you are human. That's it. Like what differentiates us? The fact that we enjoy talking to each other, that we enjoy this conversation, that you enjoy each other's company. And that's why people support each other, regardless of race, religion, language, culture, anything. So how I like to look at it is that when a person actually enters a market, there of course would be barriers because people feel that, hey, you know, like, and I'll just put it out there. It's true, right? Because any market, you feel that this person is just trying to come here and he's trying to earn money. But not that it's not true, not that it's not that, of course, like, startups want to earn money, but at the same time, what is it in it for the other person? And sometimes looking at it rather from incentive point of view, but rather looking at a human point of view, makes a lot more sense because you connect to the other person through a different wavelength. And the person wants to support you. The person wants to help you. And then the narrative changes because you are, like in Indonesian terms, not bully. Yeah, you're not bully anymore, not because you're not, you know, you don't have that passport or that race and so on, but rather it's because in spirit, you're not bully, right? In spirit, you actually are one of us.
You're collaborating. Yeah. You're sharing. You're enjoying the company.
Yeah, enjoying the company. I think that's here how for its an own, entrepreneur should look at it. Any right. person who wants to enter a market, look at it. Yeah,
for its own merits. You're,
yes,
you're because you want to be here.
Yeah, you want to be here. You want to actually really genuinely be there for people. Yeah, you don't want to come from like a savior angle, right? You know, I'm trying to help you. No, it's not that. It's rather like
sounds like empathy.
Yeah, it's empathy. It's like, hey, actually, I just want to be here. I want to experience your culture. I want to see like what's it like being here. I want to actually like do things together with you.
And from that,
yeah,
all things flow.
Yeah.
Ben, I really enjoyed this conversation. I wish you all the best.
Thanks. Thanks so much. I really enjoyed it.
May the force
as well.
Be with you.
Yeah, may the force be with you. Thanks, right. Jeff.
And that's Bista from the Singapore Chamber of Commerce in Indonesia. Thanks so much to Ben Wong of Kenobi for joining. From On the Level Media, I'm Jeff Hutton. Bye for now.